The gospel reading for today is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born, the King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and myrrh. And having been warned in the dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to the country by another route. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Amen. As I mentioned before, we are on the 12th day of Christmas. And tomorrow is Epiphany. Epiphany is that changing over of the direction of the gospel, if you will. Epiphany is the celebration of Christ's manifestation of his word, his gospel message to the Gentile people. And it began with the first Gentiles that worshiped Jesus. Now, we talked about how the shepherds had come and worshiped Jesus and then went on their way. Well, the wise men eventually got there as well. And the wise men worshiped Jesus. They brought the nice gifts and they bowed down and worshiped this Christ child. So the first Gentiles that are on the scene to worship this Christ child. And you know Mary's thoughts, "Oy vey, what am I going to do with these people?" But the... and on only one cup of coffee and a donut. Imagine if I had more sugar. The joy of the gospel changing directions, if you will. Not that it left the Jewish people, but it expanded and it's going to spread out to all the world. So this Christ is not just the Savior of his people, he's the Savior of all people who are now his people. And then the expression of that. How do we show that with the world around us? I think of the old simple song, "They'll know we are Christians by our love. Let us walk with each other. Let us walk hand in hand." And it goes on, "And they'll know we are Christians by our love." We're doing it by how we show people our faith. You can't just see that faith on someone. I mean, many of you here were baptized as Christians when you were just an infant. As you walk around, people don't see that faith on you. They see it in how you live your life. You show that love to others around. And it's that contact with others that faith is then lived out in as we are servants of God. We don't serve God. He doesn't need anything from us. There's nothing to serve there. We serve God by serving others and sharing that gospel message. And we want to make sure that gospel message is true. That's why we continue to listen to God, to follow God, to stay on the right path with God's word, knowing that you know, there is one way that is correct. There is one gospel that is correct. I kept a piece of junk mail for many years from this one particular person. And this time of year, we all get lots of requests for money. Everybody, you know, we're in that giving spirit, and so everyone wants to tap that giving spirit, and so everyone wants to tell you that their needs are where those needs need to be met from you. And it start off in they're sending you something in the mail, so you feel like you need to reciprocate by giving them money for what they've sent you already, or just asking for money. I had this one, and this was from a man who called himself Reverend Ike, that I wrote out from this because it was just so unique. With this came this cutout, if you will, a piece of paper, but a cutout of what would look like a crystal ball on its little stand. And you know, kind of peculiar, just a photocopy here, but here's what he wrote. "Greetings, my dear friend." I didn't even know he knew me. "Greetings, my dear friend. I do not believe in idol superstition, but this morning at about 8:29 a.m., while I was praying for you and others, there appeared to me a heavenly vision, a miracle crystal ball. The Spirit told me to make a copy of this miracle crystal ball and send it to you. When you look into it, three amazing things will happen. You will see your fate and future. You will see how you can control and change your fate and future. You will see money and many other blessings of health, happiness, love, success, and prosperity, and draw them to yourself. Send back your personal request no later than 3:26 p.m. tomorrow. All this for your offering of only $8 for the ministry." Yeah. This was a long time ago. I can't imagine how much you'd be asking for nowadays. But Reverend Ike, what a charlatan, you know, just what we need to upgrade the pastoral office today, someone like him. In our age of trying to glorify God in our service to him, there's so many ministers that step out and are making our walk more difficult because they're not following our Lord as they should. They're coming up with their own ideas of God and using God to accomplish their own goals. I watch sometimes, I haven't done it in years, but I used to watch a lot more, TBN, Trinity Broadcast Network. There were certain folks that I listened to and certain folks that I would tune in for. Most of it, quite honestly, not my cup of tea, quite honestly. Yeah, just really not my thing, and for many of them, the way they are and what they're talking about. But there were a couple that I tuned into. One of them was more for entertainment because I got some great illustrations from all the things not to do that this one would do. But just this one in particular that I listened to, he was always fun. He was always entertaining. And I guess my draw to him was kind of like my draw to Jerry Lewis movies. You know, you know there's going to be some humor involved here and what's going on. You're just not sure where it's going to come from. Must be that little bit of French blood I've got in me that's leading me down that path. But he said, and he, this was his pitch, if you will, "I am going to give you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you the means by which you will know the Holy Spirit is working in your life. I'm going to give you the means by which you will feel the power of the Holy Spirit and be able to accomplish more and have a better life by the Spirit's prodding and leading you. I am going to give you the strength of the Holy Spirit to guide you and to bless you in every day of your life. For only $29.95, I am going to give you this DVD." And, yeah, well, wait a minute. Where did we switch from the giving to selling part? He's going to give it to me for a price. That's not the way the Lord works. And he certainly doesn't charge for his Holy Spirit. He gives us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit leads us in this life. And as I would say, the pastoral office itself has fallen on hard times. We don't need any more folks like that around. But they are around. And just over the past, say, 40 years in the world and in the U.S., the way the church has fallen time after time because of folks like this, of Jim Baker, Jimmy Swaggart, the problems in the Catholic Church, in the Episcopal Church, even in the Lutheran Church, and we have these problems going on all over. Oral Roberts saying that, you know, the Lord's going to call him home if he doesn't get his $8 million. And then the question was, to which of his four homes was he going to call him, you know? He had all this property. So, you know, these folks have given the church a black eye. And And it's no wonder that when you have pastors that are devaluing the pastoral office in the church, that there are less people wanting to be a part of the church. What can we expect? In the scripture reading today, we have the three wise men that are coming to worship this Christ child. And they have a lack of trust in the leaders. It's inherent, because they're warned that this leader is not who he seems. He's not wanting to worship this child as they've come to do, but he's wanting to bring him harm. And here they have followed this star, and that in itself is an amazing part of the story. They follow the star, a wandering star. The only way science comes up with an explanation for a wandering star is the idea of a comet. It's shooting stars. But that wouldn't stay in place, and this star stayed in place. And it before them. But it does go before them. It's leading them. So it's not just a star that they have to figure out where that point is underneath them. It's a star that they are actually following. And then it comes to rest over where this child is. How we explain that, we don't. Because we can't. It's a wandering star. But it was there. And the wise men knew when they had arrived where they were was the right place because the star stopped moving. And they bring their gifts and they bring their worship to this child, to this God that has been born. Epiphany comes through the Gentiles now receiving this recognition that they are part of the family. Part of a family that previously had excluded anybody that was not born of the Jewish faith. How many of you have taken one of those DNA tests? You know, did it reveal anything that surprised you? Really? Most folks I hear, except on the commercials, you know, I thought we were German. It turns out we're Japanese. Most of them aren't that extreme. Yours was different for you. You got some surprises in yours. We follow these because we feel that there's some connection that we want to have to our past or our history. That's why we continue to think that we have this history we have to hold on to. But not everyone who's wearing lederhosen is German. Some people wear them because they just have no fashion sense. We can't judge the book by its cover, right? I mean, it's just like our faith. We're no longer just these Gentiles outside of the faith. Actually, we've been grafted into the Jewish tree because of Jesus. We're grafted onto his tree, the family. We're part of that faith now. It's not just a matter of bloodline that matters. That's not what makes us who we are. But clinging to Christ and being grafted into the family tree of Christ, it's who we've become and where our faith has led us. This is family because we all have that faith in Jesus. We hold on to Christ as once being Gentiles, now just being Christians. And that defines who we are more than anything. And the scriptures continue to reveal to us what is important for us, that faith in Jesus to now share with the world so that others will be grafted into this tree as well. It's not just about us holding on, it's about bringing others into this faith and having that same joy that those wise men did. The shepherds were told when they go away from seeing Jesus that they go away and they share the good news of what they've seen. We're not told about the wise men. We're not given anything about what happens next in their story. Do they go away and keep quiet? I doubt it. Just the very fact that they weren't going to tell this one over here tells me that they're going to be telling, but it's being careful of who they're telling at that time, not to let Herod know because of his evil intentions. But they must have gone away and shared it. How could they not? I mean, considering what they went through to get there and what they brought as gifts, they had to go away in awe, recognizing they had been in the presence of God. And we go away from from the Word as we have received it, and how can we not share it with the world around us? How can we not speak about what we have learned and what we have received, that grace and that mercy that's been given to us that we can now give to the world around us? Yeah. It's a matter of what path we're going to walk in this life. Are we going to stay on that lighted path of Christ? Are we going to continue to stay in His Word, to follow Him in worship, to be a part of worship like this morning, regularly? Are we going to be there in Bible study and hold to His Word? Are we going to continue in our prayer life? Are we going to be faithful in this walk with Christ? Or are we going to step off and realize that where we are, the light's not there, and it's dark and dreary, and we followed into a path of destruction and misery because we have left the light and gone our own way, done our own thing, and just said, it's okay to be this way. It's not. It is not. Light dispels darkness. Darkness never dispels light. You can't turn darkness on in a room full of light and have something happen. You can turn light on in a room full of darkness and have something happen. I'm reminded of this just by our vacation again. Going down in the bottom of the earth, you know, seemed like the bottom of the earth. It sure felt not like it to my legs. But 800 feet down underneath the earth's surface, and it's dark, and you turn on a flashlight, and what can you see? Wow! No darkness can put the light out, but the light can dispel the darkness, and you can see the wonders of what that light reveals. That's what we're about as Christians, following that light. The wise men were about following the light of the world, not just the light of the Jews anymore. The light of the world had been revealed, and He's revealed to us. And we may stumble and we may fall, but we're going to get back up because we have that light before us, and we know that while we're sinners, we still will follow this light and receive that forgiveness of sins, not because we're following, but because the light's shining on us. It's not our light. God is gracing us. God is giving His mercy to us. God is blessing us as His children. And we're going to be able to reach out to help others that have fallen away from this light. Maybe they're off the path. They can see it, but they're not on it. This is the time to get back on the right path. To be the child of God He wants us to be. To be in worship. To be in prayer. To be in devotion. To be in study of His Word. To sing His praises, to talk to others about His presence in our life, to walk the right path. And it's very clear for us because God continues to light it and show us His way. We need to keep in contact with Christ, and we need to keep in contact with the body of Christ. He is the light of the world, not just for us, but for all people. And so just like we were grafted into that tree, it's time to bring others into the fold, to help them to see and to help them to follow, to help them, as we've been called, to walk that right path. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, and your lives always in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our God. Amen.